Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Your share at 5K a day. Just listen to the program for 1 hour on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. Sign in there if you're on Odyssey.com. You're probably already signed into the app. So 1 hour gives you a chance to win your share of 5K a day. In the meantime, it is our random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wade. Welcome random, to the men's room.
Random.
Hola.
Hola. What's up, Wade?
How you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Hanging in there. Nice sunny day today.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's sure. I mean, look, if it's going to be cold, sunshine sure does help.
Oh, it's damn cold. Don't get that wrong.
Yeah, that is a fact. Okay, here we go, Wade. How about this one? As you get older, as you are older, what do you not tolerate anymore in your old age?
Okay. There's a long list there.
Okay.
Screaming women and kids.
All right, that's fair.
Well, if you're a parent, you're immune to it because you're around it so often, you just kind of grow numb to it.
Once your kids at a certain, like my kids are old enough now that they're, you know, they're no screaming and yelling and all that 3 and 4 year old stuff, but I still don't hear it anymore if I'm in an enclosed place. Like the plane, there was a baby crying when we flew back last Friday. I know some people were getting pissed off about it on the plane. I'm like, I know the kid's screaming and crying, but because it's not my problem, having done it with your own kid, when it's not your problem, you do really kind of go deaf to it.
Yeah.
Like, that is absolutely someone else's problem, and it ain't mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at home, too, that's why they make the volume button on that remote control for the TV.
Absolutely.
I don't typically watch stuff at a very high volume unless I'm watching a show that I've got or a movie. So if it's just whatever it is on television for whatever reason, but if I pick the show, even though I pick it anyway.
Yeah.
But if I pick the show on a streaming service, I sit down, I kind of dim the lights around the TV a little bit, like I try to make it more of a movie theater experience.
I always turned it up, and I realized my son's always like, why is it up so loud? And then I realized, you know what? Because I'm old and deaf. Mm-hmm. That's why. It's not loud to me, it is loud to you.
I keep mine about the same, but generally if it's like, if I'm watching a Seahawks game or a big football game, I turn it up louder.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something about that.
Driving is one of those things where, as I get older, I have a difficult time dealing with people sometimes. But it's just, and it's not even as much, God almighty, man. I had a whole day on Saturday where it seemed like no one used their turn signals.
I know.
So I did not, you know, it just,
that drives me nuts.
Dude, just figure out where you're going. But at least turn the turn signal on if you think you're eventually going to make a right.
So you got to do, people will make room for you.
Or sometimes it's just, you feel like it's just like, I had a day where I was just like, well, I guess it's just cut off Ted Day. Yeah. You know, it happens like 2 or 3 times. You're just like, all right.
My thing is, especially on I-5, please just stay in your lane. There's so many people that just weave.
That little meander.
They weave back and forth. They're on the lines going like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. They don't even get over. Like, dude.
Or get off your phone at a stoplight. Because we had a honk today at the end of the express lanes. Light's green. They were there for about a good 15 seconds because part of us were like, let's see how long they can actually sit here and not pay attention. And finally honked and they took off. And it's like, get off your phone, man. You are not that important. You just are not.
Yeah. But things that shouldn't really aggravate me do aggravate me at times that are just not the biggest deal in the world. Completely first world problems. Like,
shower in his hotel room has no water pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
Dumb,
yeah,
little things.
Dumb stuff like that. Well, the reason we asked, as you get older, what did you not tolerate anymore? There was a thread about, as I've gotten to the point where I can't stand it, everyday frustrations that older adults refuse to tolerate as they age. And the number one is what Wade brought up. Just in general, loud noises.
Yeah, I mean, it's circumstantial. So, Ted, you can vouch for this. You go to the watering hole, and at a certain time, it's all those older folks in there just pounding on beers, whatever. And it'll change over, say, 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, depending on the day of the week. And you realize, like, well, now I'm yelling to be heard. Everyone's yelling back at me. And I get it. They have a DJ. And people are having fun.
It was New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
And we were extremely the old people. Because they at 9:30, the DJ fired up.
Usually doesn't start that early.
And Thrill's like, is it getting that loud here? And I was like, yeah, man, the DJ started.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was starting. I'm just like, why is it so loud?
And to your credit, I think you and your wife left shortly after.
Yeah, because honest to God, it's not that we weren't having a good time, but I'm like, I'm just tired of screaming just to have a conversation. You know, I'm having a good conversation, but everyone's yelling. And I'm like, hey, let's just.
Dude, I did it Saturday, right? Me and a couple buddies were bumming around Capitol Hill. I haven't been out, like, I live there.
Yeah.
Haven't been out there in forever, but like, yeah, by like 9 o'clock, it was like.
Everywhere's loud, right?
Everywhere's loud. I felt like the old guy. I had stuff in the crock pot. I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah. Also, the older you get, you know when you go to a place that you shouldn't be in.
Sure.
As far as whatever time it is. I mean, it used to be that way in Fremont all the time. On a Friday or Saturday night, I would know when it's time to leave a bar because when that bouncer sets up outside.
That's typically about the time.
I've got about 15, 20 minutes to get out of there because I realize that the crowd is going to change dramatically and I am going to be hanging.
They need a bouncer.
With my child's friends, essentially, as far as the age is concerned.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I become then the oldest person in the bar. And for whatever reason, I don't know why I care, but I do.
On that level.
Because nobody wants to be the oldest person in a bar, especially on a Friday or Saturday.
No. Yeah. No. And I won't wait in lines anymore either. That's another, like, a long, you know, if it's, let's go to this place. If I see a line, I'm like, let's just go somewhere else, man. I'm not going to, nothing is so good to me now.
Right.
That it's worth waiting in line. And it's funny, my wife, because she was guilty of this when she's younger, and she openly admits it, but we'll be driving somewhere and the clubs are starting to pick up and all the hot chicks are out there, except the temperature's about what it is now. And they just don't wear jackets. You know, they have their arms folded tight. My wife's like, I used to do this all the time, man. And I'm like 24 years old, and I would stand in 15-degree weather with my hands tucked under my armpits, wait in line for 20 minutes outside just to get into the club or the bar or whatever it is.
And never bring a coat.
Never bring a coat.
Some more of the things that everyday adults refuse to tolerate as they age, going out after I already got home. It is non-negotiable. If the bra has been removed already, forget it. I'm in for the night.
We had that conversation last week. We're like, it's just kind of tough. Like, look, man, it's not about what time I have to go out. So if you say on a Saturday, we're meeting at 10 p.m., it's not awesome, but I go, all right, because I haven't done anything else. But, like, if I get home from work, kick off and hanging out with the kids, and someone's like, dude, you want to go out? It's like 9:30. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Man, my feet are up on the coffee table. I'm old. No, man.
Man, I'd have a tough time going out to something that starts at 10.
That's what I mean. Just like,
You have to. You almost have to have a hotel room near or whatever the deal is.
Because Castle hits you with that because Castle sees so many local bands and stuff. And he's like, hey, man, our boy so-and-so's playing here. Do you want to go? And I'm always like, what time does it start? He's like, well, doors open at 9. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, for an example.
I don't know why I explain it to you, but if it's Friday night or if I'm already out on a Saturday evening.
Sure.
Cool. But you're right. If I'm not doing anything and I'm supposed to meet you at 10 p.m., more than likely at some point, I'm going to cancel.
Told me that you stopped by the bar Saturday because you were already out. You were already correct. Out and were having a good night and it's on the way. You said, what the hell? But right, if I had called really you and said, hey, man. And so that was our challenge Friday night. The reason this all timed out, Ted, was my wife ended up volunteering at the school for something she had not planned on doing. We planned on going out that night and the guy's band started at 9. I'm like, all right, well, we have this on the calendar. It's fine. Well, me and the daughter are hanging out at home. It's just the two of us watching the TV show Goosebumps, eating popcorn. We are under a blanket. I am comfortable. But I know that when my wife gets home, which ended up being about 10:30, we're going to go to a different bar to watch this guy's band. And we did it. And it was actually kind of nice, kind of cool. And I'm ripping down Jack's, drinking beer. And then everyone from there, we know from another bar, and they're like, hey, we're all going to head back to the watering hole. We kind of looked at each other like,
no.
Yeah, it's midnight. I'm gonna go home, man.
Right, so I was all the way down, not all the way, but I was down like Bonnie Lake. So I couldn't, like, I had a couple beers, but I couldn't really drink because I had to drive back.
Yeah.
So then it was like midnight, and I was close to our watering hole, so I was like, well, I could pop in now.
Now, sir, that's your right. If it's late and we're close to the water, if you ever see me in our watering hole late, we're coming from somewhere, and it's like, let's get one more for the road home.
Correct. But if you had texted me at 11:30, and been like, "Run to the bar," I would have been like, "You're out of your mind." Yeah.
It's tough that older adults refuse to tolerate as they age. Wearing clothes that are uncomfortable for the sake of fashion.
Yeah.
My tolerance for cute but painful shoes, itchy fabric, annoying tags has gone way down. Also, now that I've discovered they make dresses, skirts, and women's pants that actually have real pockets,
yes,
I can't go back to the SE fake ones that barely hold a credit card.
Mike, how many times are you asked to hold your wife's stuff? Because they have, it's not that they don't fit in my pockets, it's that women buy clothing that does not have pockets.
No, it's not necessarily that, but it is every time that we go out, it's just... My wife, everything she does is a production. So everything requires, like, we will go to the store or something like that, and she will have a bag, a legit bag of stuff that she has to take with her. Just, it's got her water in it. It's got sorts of, like, a change of frickin' clothes is in there, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. And so, yeah, when we're walking around, I need to carry her phone and her wallet at some point.
I have my wife's phone and her keys more often than not. It's, and again, because none of her clothing seems to have pockets, which maybe it's just a guy thing, but I think that's insane. And then, in spite of the fact that you need your phone and your keys, you refuse to bring a bag, I'm sorry, clutch.
Right.
Large enough. So I'm like, your clutch is a oversized wallet.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is that her jacket pockets are stuffed. She'll wear a jacket because she's cold everywhere that she goes. So she has a jacket that she puts on, and those pockets are stuffed to the brim. I have no idea what's in there.
Yep. But not your keys or your wallet.
Because I'm carrying her phone and her keys.
Right. Another says, stuff over substance. Material things matter a lot less. It's all about, for me, experiences, relationships, and functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of as I get older. Working.
well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Especially after COVID. I think a lot of people kind of just checked out.
Oh, God.
In general, if they could work at home. Drama. Seriously, I had to walk away from a friend group because they would not stop with the drama. Every 6 months, like clockwork, we'd be picking who was kicked out of the friend group over some minor thing. Once that would die down, we'd get like a quiet 2 or 3 months before the next made-up drama started. I'm too old for this S. Just want to have a nice time with my friends. How hard is that? Another person says, buying new things. I used to love spending money on shiny new S when I was younger. Now I just want things that are functional and will last a long time. I agree with lasting a long time.
Yes.
I think if you're going to buy something, it's okay to spend a little bit more money to make sure that you get quality so that you don't have to continually buy things that just don't... It's not that they don't matter to you. Like, a good vacuum cleaner.
I was going
to
say, a vacuum cleaner was my first foray into, hey, we're going to spend what I believe to be an absurd amount of money on a vacuum cleaner because it's not something you hold near and dear to your heart.
Right. But you don't want to buy it again.
I have not had to replace it.
Yeah.
As opposed to spending like $120 every 6 months. I'm like, you know, babe, when we add this up over a period of 5 years, if we just spend this much money now, we don't need a new vacuum.
I wouldn't blink twice about buying a, and I have a decent grill. Don't get me wrong. But if I went to buy a grill, I'm buying a nice one.
But it's worth it.
I'm going to buy one that hopefully won't weather out and will be around for at least 8 years if I can help it.
You know where they get you? I'm telling you, man, kitchen appliances, right? So,
well, you can buy quality stuff there, too.
You can, and it's an exorbitant fee. And when we redid the kitchen, because you're already in the hole paying for the scrap, we got the really good stuff, lifetime warranty, and all the rest of the scrap. Before that, we had gone through two refrigerators. I won't bother to say the respective companies, but they advertise on TV telling you about all this crap. They're absolute garbage. Meanwhile, the house that we bought, in the basement, there's a refrigerator original to the house. The refrigerator is time itself. You will have loved ones die before this refrigerator. Oh, yeah. It's from 1979, and it's
solid
still
state.
It keeps things colder than anything else in the house. You can shoot this thing. It will not die.
Let's see. Abrasive people, I just try to cut them out of my life. I think you cut out a lot of people in your life.
Yeah.
Just based on experiences, where they are. Maybe you just kind of moved apart or whatever the deal is. But you know there's going to be some stuff when you hang out with them.
Yeah, you just don't do it.
So I try my best to avoid those people, especially when they email me and ask me if they can stay in my house for a few days. Alcohol is something that I don't nearly do as much.
I don't do as much, but I still do plenty.
Mm-hmm. Arguing with strangers online.
Yeah.
Social media. I can't take it. I try to mute posts, scroll past them, unfriend people who posted it. I did that during the election, to be honest with you. I was on Instagram.
Yeah.
And if someone were to post something about Biden or someone were to post something about Trump, I just like, look, I'm on Instagram. I'm looking at pictures.
Right.
I'm trying to see what my friends and family are doing when they're out doing their thing. This is not the place, and I don't care what political side you're on. That's just not where I want to see it. I see that enough reading the news every day.
Right.
So this is kind of my escapism.
And vote.
And since I got hacked last past weekend, I'm just like, the hell with it. I'm not, I'm not even going to start a new Instagram account. Let's see. Going to bars until 1 a.m. Give me a happy hour deal with the guys anytime. I'd rather get home early, still have fun, but not be out all night.
Yeah, I definitely change my tune on that one.
Mm-hmm. What else? Wearing makeup. I used to put on a full face of makeup every single day. Then COVID hit. And since I worked in healthcare, I had to wear the full gown, mask, shield every day for 8 hours. So I quit wearing anything but an eyebrow pencil and a little mascara. Now I'm to the point where I only wear a full face for really special events.
Because well, honestly, I'm a clown at a kid's birthday party.
I don't care what people think I look, how I look anymore. Another one says, children, they're noisy, sticky, little disease machines.
They are exactly that.
I kept being told the older I got, the more I'd want kids because of biology. But my biology has been steering me further and further from kids every single day.
Don't tell someone what they're going to want when they get older. You don't know.
Yeah. Another person says, as far as getting older, what I can't tolerate anymore, flying. When I was younger, I always loved it, looked forward to it. It was one of those things where I knew I was going to get away. Now, even though I know I'm going to get away, I can't stand it. Every part of it sucks, and it keeps getting worse. I'd honestly rather drive long distances than sometimes get in an airplane.
It does kind of suck.
And another person says, winter. I just hate the cold and the fact that it feels like I'm permanently dark. I know we get daylight, but what I'm at work when that happens. The older I get, the worse it is.
We got a couple of texts.
I was going to say, the flying thing is this. Like, you recognize for how easy it is. The amount of time it saves you.
The convenience.
But I'm with you. I absolutely despise it.
Yeah, the experience sucks. But again, it's just a Greyhound with wings now, right? You're not getting decks of cards and peanuts. There's nothing complimentary. Getting nickel and dimed under everything. It is what it is. But long story short, like, yeah, we know. But we're going to get you there faster. You can find a faster way to do it. One text says, I'm 36. I've only bought dresses with pockets for the last 4 years. Ain't nobody got time for fake pockets anymore. That's the other question I was going to ask. Why did they create fake pockets? Like, if it has a pocket, just make it a pocket. If it does not have pockets, then don't act like it has pockets. That made no sense to me. It pissed me off. And then somebody here, I like this. If there's no on-site parking, I'm probably not going.
That's a tough one.
It is. It is. But a lot of times you don't find out until you get to your location. Like, God damn it, man. You know what irritates me? And again, it's the old man thing. I just want parking meters where I can just get... I'm trying to give you money. Yeah. I have never understood why any company on this planet tries to make it difficult for you to pay them. Like, I don't mind paying for my parking, but you mind taking my money.
Well,
I don't... Can it just be on the house? Or give me an option instead of doing your QR code or downloading your app, because I freaking hate apps. I should at least have the alternative to use a credit card to put in cash, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to download more crap to your phone that people hack into and all the rest of this garbage, I'll just put your credit card here or slide the cash, and I'm good.
No. If there's a concert down at the stadium or if there is a Seahawks game, I am on the bus one way at least 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So just to get that, I know parking's going to be $80 to $100 to park by the stadiums.
Correct.
So,
Uber, of course, is going to charge more on these days.
And what I'll do is I will take a bus down there because the bus drops you off at the stadium. And then on the way out, I will start migrating my ass through Pioneer Square and get as close up to work here as possible and then Ubering as far away from that location as possible so that I can just ensure that I can get one. And typically what I'll do is I will get the Uber over here by our building by the express lanes.
Oh, yeah. Got to tell them, though.
So when they get there, man, I am just shooting straight home and trying to make it as easy as possible because, I just don't want to deal with it.
I'm very much there. Somebody here says, I'm now the old man yelling at people who drive too fast on my street. I think that inevitably happens. And someone says, camping no more. Nice hotel. Oh,
I am right there with you. People love camping. Just to go sit by a river that's 5 feet away from a major interstate. And they will set up camp, and they will have a lot better situation than I would ever have. But the idea of spending the night in a tent, depending on the situation, in the summertime when you ideally want to go, it gets hot in there. In the wintertime, I don't like winter camping. For me, I just want to take a shower. I want to be able to just brush my teeth. For whatever reason, I camped enough as a kid. I lived outside for summers at a time, a Boy Scout camp in a tent. Just done with the tent lifestyle. Because I know it's going to rain eventually. Look, man, whatever I plan for, it's not going
to
work.
I was homeless, so I don't understand the need to want to recreate that. You're just doing it in the woods. I'm like, okay, this is what it'd be like to be homeless in the woods. At least in the city. I mean, there's a possibility of getting food or I can find shelter somewhere. That's just my position.
I would do the RV lifestyle. If we had a camper, I'm in.
If you got a shower.
I think those are cool. For some reason, I just give that the excuse. Like, yeah, man, we got an RV, we got a camper. It's going to be great.
I think some people just like going outdoors, too, and it's cheaper.
It's definitely one of the cheapest things
you can do. Like having an RV or this or that. And like, I don't know, it is kind of nice waking up next to a river. Like, you can have a fire in the backyard, but making s'mores on a campfire is different.
Yeah. Somebody here says taking shots. That's a young person's game.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What are you, 70?
I won't do shooters, but I do like shots.
I'll do shooters if they pass them around.
Yeah.
I'm not going to order one, but if somebody brings out a trailer.
My wife always gets my shooters. Hell, if they do the big pass, every time Jello shots are brought her way, I'm like, that's all my wife. Just give me Jack.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The men's room returns with Miles and Thrill.
America's favorite sandwiches and the NFL's greatest quarterbacks. Coming up with your guess is as good as mine at 4:30. In the meantime, it is our random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kurt. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Kurt, how are you? Welcome to the random question. Random. Let's see here.
Let's get random.
Okay, let's do it.
Random.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay. Growing up, who was the cool adult? Whether that was a relative, an uncle, your neighbor, or just somebody, maybe a friend of the family. But they were always the cool adult, the kind of person that, you know, it's not that you don't look up to your parents. It's just different when they're not your parents.
Yeah.
That would be my Aunt Carla.
Okay.
What made Aunt Carla cool?
Well, she taught me how to play cards and a little bit of chess. So, yeah, she was just, like, the fun aunt to be around. And may have saved my life as well.
How's that?
I got hit in the middle of the head with a baseball bat. Ooh. Playing soccer with, or playing hockey with a soccer ball and aluminum baseball bats. And so.
How old were you?
That's a good question. I think I was about 8.
You don't remember because you got hit in the head.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. My whole head swelled up. Looked like a raccoon. The other kids in the neighborhood they treated me like I had, you know, leprosy or something. So it was.
Well,
kids
just get scared. You know, they
oh, for sure.
They just tend to run away when bad things happen because they don't want to get blamed for anything.
That is exactly
But they're also looking at me and thinking that I'm diseased or something. It's like, no, I got hit in the nose with a baseball bat. So, but anyway, Aunt Carla was the cool one.
I had a cool aunt, too.
Is she still around, Aunt Carla?
I think so. She's been going through some rough times, unfortunately, and I can't connect with her. Her oldest, her son just died of cancer.
Oh, damn.
Her other son committed suicide 4 years ago. And so it's like, it's really a dichotomy if you think about it, that she had that much energy and vibrance and everything and then has to go through all of that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, my heart goes out to her, but she was my favorite. She was the cool one.
Okay.
Well,
I can tell you this. My neighbor Bill Simler growing up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he had a pool in his backyard. Free access.
Right.
Anytime I wanted to go. And he had to work during the day. So in the summertime when, you know, you're not going to school or whatever, I could go over there and get into his pool, and I'd spend the entire day at his pool. He would leave the slider door open downstairs. He had a kegerator down there.
Ooh.
And his rule was one beer.
Yeah.
One beer. That's it.
You can have one
beer all during the day while you're out there. I don't want you to drown. Your friends cannot know about this. If
of
you
course.
Have other friends come over, you are not all getting a beer. It's just when you are over there on your own, you're going to get a beer. Bill also, he distributed all the magazines and newspapers to the town that I lived in growing up in the county. That means he filled all the racks at the Walgreens, you know, your QFCs, the world. Right. They had magazine sections and all that. The newspaper store downtown, the magazine store, he owned that. But you have to remember, when new issues of something come out, whether it's monthly, weekly, or whatever the deal is, all right, Time Magazine used to be a weekly publication.
Right.
After that week is over with, they no longer sell that publication. So there's a new one. So what they would do was they would cut off the front cover of the magazine and just the name, just the top part.
Right.
And they would send that back, and then they would get reimbursed for those magazines that did not sell. He also had the biggest porn in his newspaper shop. The biggest, like, you went into a different room.
Yeah, of course.
These were also on the monthly basis. Some were on a tri-month. Either way, when he got done with it, once he cut that top off, swank, and he kept the name and sent it back, it was free. He did not care.
That was problem.
What we took. He had to dispose of that at the dump one way or another. So he would give us any mag. So I read Sports Illustrated growing up as a kid, and not one of them had a cover on it.
They never had a cover.
They were all a week old.
All right.
But I could go over there and get, you know, anything I want. What was the baseball newspaper back in the day that was an extensive, kind of like a folded bag?
My brother used to get it, and I cannot remember the
sporting
name.
News.
Yeah, something like
sporting that. Sporting News.
Yeah.
Sporting News.
But just all this weird stuff. Like, even if you're, like, motorcycle magazines. Just,
yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to just get into whatever you wanted to get into, it was just, I would come home with a stack this big of the new National Geographic, just things that, Mad Magazine, Crack Magazine, you know, all those different things. And he would hire me to do some side jobs. And then when I got to be in high school, my stepfather wasn't real keen on buying me a car because he wanted me to earn enough money to buy said car.
Of course.
I think I had $300, so I did buy a car. That car was good for about 2 weeks before it blew up.
Yeah.
So I'm starting again from square one, trying to buy another car. In that meantime, I had a girlfriend, and Bill had an extra car. And he was like, look, you put gas in that car, you know, Friday, Saturday nights, if you want to go out on a date, you cannot go out with your friends.
Right.
This is not for you to drive around with your idiot friends, because he knew every single one of them. This is for you to go on a date if you want to. And tried and true, for the couple of years that I could drive in high school, if I had a date, I could say, Bill, can I borrow your Subaru, whatever, station wagon?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was wheels, and it got me there. And then he had a 300ZX.
Did he ever let you borrow
that? That was his wife's car. That was what she wanted to. But on my prom night, I was allowed to take that car and go to prom in that car. So as far as, like, being just a cool adult, like, he was the guy that was, I mean, right next door. If I ever needed anything, I could go over and ask him, and he would never rat to my parents about anything.
Sure.
You know, it was never, he would just be, like, he found a condom in his car one time. And he never told my parents about it. He was just cool about it. He's like, okay, like, guess what you're going to do this weekend? You're going to detail my car.
Yeah, right.
That's, I think, sometimes, too, it doesn't even have to be, like, family. Right? Like, I had a guy that coached me, right? You guys met him, Pat Prada.
Mm-hmm.
Then as I got older, like, he was a DeMatha guy, I was a DeMatha guy. Like, I'd babysit his kids sometimes. But same thing, like, got to a certain age. Like, I remember going to a, I don't know if it was prom or, like, a homecoming. And Pat and his wife, we were just going to, like, a TGI Fridays or whatever. And he randomly called me earlier that day and was like, you going to the dance? I said, yeah, coach. Good for you. Blah, blah, blah. So then we go. I mean, you know, it's, you know, 10 people, whatever. Your kids. I mean, your teenagers. It's not a big bill. And then the waitress comes over and it's like, it's paid for. And we're like, it's paid for. And there was Pat and his wife. They were just sitting at the bar, basically drinking, waiting for us to get there so they could pay the bill.
Nice.
And that just, is right. You know, just stuff like that.
Yeah, I moved too much for that to happen, man.
Yeah.
Well, I had a great aunt. And it's funny because she went she's still my favorite aunt, but now she is my kid's favorite aunt. I cannot explain it, man. She just brings the life to the party, so to speak. So if we say, hey, man, you're going to see Tia, which is Spanish for aunt. That's what they call her. Don't know why. But if I just mention her name, the kids light up. They are so happy to see her. But same kind of thing where I'm sure there's a million things she never shared with my parents, which is probably for the better. She won't let me forget it. You know, she still calls me Stephen Gregory. That's all she ever calls me. And she is a real cool chick, but, like, no nonsense. Never cussed. She's the one that told, she went through breast cancer, and it sucked. Because like our caller said, you know, it seems like the most decent people go through the worst. So she went to breast cancer, went to remission. It came back. All this stuff. So finally, she beats breast cancer, but she's like, look, man, I still want boobs. Because she got a double mastectomy. So she gets boobs put in. And she's always been a member of her church. Always been a member of the same church, whatever. So she had called the preacher, priest, whatever, to say, hey, I'm not going to be there this week. I'm still dealing with my recovery. She's playing that card. The truth is, she had new boobs, and as she said, I dressed like a hoochie mama, that's her quote, and flew to Vegas. So she's in Vegas, she goes there solo, and she's like, I am walking down the strip, and she's doing everything I can just to kind of shake my boobs, because she's like, I want men to notice. And then I hear this voice say, Sister Brown. And I turn around, and there's the preacher with the congregation. They're there. Oh, yeah. She's like, they were there for something, man. She's like, it was such a bad moment. She's like, I'm just dressed like a hoochie mama, and the preacher's looking at me. Going, no. Sister Brown.
You know what? He doesn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He didn't care.
You seem to have made a strong recovery. She's like, I sure did. Thank you, guys.
Coaches that were cool, that treated you like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would kick your ass. But of course. They, I mean, like a drill sergeant. But when it came time to not being in that situation where they weren't actively coaching you, couldn't be better guys, didn't want to. They would bend over backwards to help you out.
Of course.
Any way they could. But if you effed up, as a member of their team, forget about it. I mean, you're going to pay the price then. But when that's all said and done, you learned your lesson. That's all it was then.
Yeah, once you pay your debt, it should be done.
Right. And as far as radio, I started in radio when I was 16, 17 years old. There were groups of guys that really wanted to help.
Yeah,
they really wanted you to learn. They really wanted you to be interested in what you were doing. And a lot of the times, I can look back now, typically in radio, when you're on the air, you have a stack of production to do. Production is the commercials and everything you have in between. So, you know, whether it's the latest Safeway ad or whatever people are running, you know, you update those. And they would get these giant stacks of production that they would be needing to do at the end of every shift. And, you know, Jim Stallings would say, hey, do you want to learn how to do this? You're going to do my production.
Right.
You know, I will voice it. But you are going to put everything together. You're going to learn how to do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take the time to be over your shoulder. I'm going to physically be here.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you out. I'm going to teach you how to do all this stuff. I'll do this one. You do these three or four over here. And just learning how to do different things and use different equipment. And, you know, I don't know anymore, mentoring-wise, how prevalent that is in a lot of industries. But at that point in time, it was pretty refreshing, and
I don't know because it's been so long, and I will say, in that respect, because when I got into radio,
you're an apprentice, you know,
right? But I told them what I wanted to do. So certain things, I'm like, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to do it. I got one focus, and we're pretty much doing that show now, right? But I'm like, that's it. It's the only reason I do radio. I don't get the other stuff. So not everybody wants to hear that. And a lot of guys hated me for that, and I'm okay with that. But there was one guy who immediately said, you know, man, I like where your head is, Dre.
Yeah.
So he said, look, you're going to stay after hours, and we're going to cut some crap. But he's like, if you're going to do it,
you got to learn.
Then you're going to do it, man. And the other guy's a guy who inevitably kind of got us the gig here. It's just that he was not cool the entire time we knew him. All we did was get in trouble. We just didn't realize how much he had our back at the time because he's always screaming at us. And then one day kind of hit us like, oh, he must have liked this. A, that's why he didn't fire us. B, that's why he kind of let us do pretty much what we wanted to do, right? He would reel us in, but at the time, you don't know it. Now, when we see this guy and he talks, he's like, oh, I always loved you guys. He's like, it's hard to be your boss, but he's like, I really enjoyed what you guys were doing. I liked what you guys wanted to do. I liked the direction you were going. I said, but you never said that. He's like, no, because you're going to do it anyway. Right. Like, I didn't have to encourage you to do what you're going to do because you guys are built that way.
And as far as that show goes that we did, it was much worse than what you're listening to right now.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, you can get away with it.
We were younger. We were much more immature. So we were taking chances, but at that time when CBS was doing those stations,
but it didn't feel like chance
that had Opie and Anthony, and then we came on Stern, after Howard
Dynamite,
Stern, and,
yeah, you know, it was hot talk for guys.
Tom Likas could go on and, you know, call women bitches, and no one cared. I mean, some people cared, but I mean that was just kind of the mantra. So we were on that because we got an email about it the other day, and I wrote this guy back. I was like, look, man, the things that we did back then would be cringeworthy to me now as far as...
We would be fired.
As far as how things have evolved. And you listen to Howard now. He has evolved as someone who used to do... He would never do the lesbian dating game ever again.
Right.
He would never do a lot of the things that he used to do. Just as you get older, your interests change, and you don't go for the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
As much. But back then...
As much, yes.
I mean, but back then, man, I mean, that was kind of the... we were really having a pretty good time, and the topics, not all the time.
Not all the time. But the way we would treat anything, you know. And right, looking back, I'm like, my God, I cannot believe we got away with that. But we weren't trying to. It's just, it's who we were.
Right.
I mean, legitimately. I mean, that's what the one guy who says, look, I kind of got to the gig here, is like, you guys were never putting on an act. It's like, that's what made you guys so dangerous. You were reckless by nature. Not because you're trying to push buttons, you just legitimately did not care. I said, for the most part, I still don't, man.
We did a Sunday NFL show. We just got hammered the entire time because they asked us what we wanted to do, and we said no. We said, are you going to pay us? And they said no. So we determined that since NFL football's on, we're in a jillions, we're going to get drunk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And talk
did
about,
not care.
And talk about football. We did zero research.
Right.
I mean, absolutely zero research. We just sat there and spitballed about what we thought, just like last week when I said, man, Bills Commanders. I mean, absolutely nothing remotely close to me.
Yeah, it's not that hard to chat football.
It's not, man, because even the experts don't know.
But we had a boss that would come in on his day off and stand behind us at the broadcast area just to make sure that we did not drink and get so hammered.
But we drank, got hammered anyway.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was a guy from CBS Sportsline back in the day, and he was driving through the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. And he was writing about just sports talk radio, and he happened to fall on our show. I don't know if I think he probably thought he was listening to sports talk radio because we're leading into the games.
Right. We're leading
into
pregame.
All those different things. He said the guys, and I can't remember what it was, but the guys had some insights that I thought were pretty good, but golly, were they hammered.
Yeah, it's like clearly inebriated.
Clearly inebriated.
That was his
clearly
exact quote.
Clearly inebriated.
But had some fine points about the game of football.
Yep.
I thought, yeah, both of those things were true.
Reason we asked growing up, who was the cool adult? Everyone has heard stories about bad teachers who have crossed the line with students. This takes that to another level. An elementary school principal.
Oh, boy.
In Cocoa Beach, Florida, near Cape Canaveral, has been arrested after throwing a massive rager last Sunday night. Apparently, the guests included an elementary school teacher and more than 100 students.
Wait, wow. Is not elementary
not
school?
In elementary school, necessarily, but she was the elementary principal and teacher at the time. There was a lot of booze. The authorities say one minor was arrested for DUI after leaving the party. Another had to be treated by EMTs when they suffered an alcohol-related medical event on the principal's front lawn. The principal does not have any regrets. In fact, when she saw the lights flashing out front, she turned off all the outdoor lights and forced the EMTs to treat the kid using only their truck's headlights because she didn't want to disturb the neighbors.
You got to be kidding me.
Now, the principal was charged with child neglect, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and holding an open house party. The teacher was hit with similar charges. Both have been placed on administrative leave. Aren't any details in the age or condition of the kid who suffered the episode on the front lawn. But either
I told you, my brother, right, like, he doesn't coach or teach those kids anymore. But just because he's an administrator in that district, I mean, it's fine now, as my niece and nephew are both over 21. But, like, if Maddie and her friends were having a drink, he'd be like, all right, I'm going to go inside.
Right.
Right? Or, you know, he's like, I'm not doing beer bong. You know what I mean? It's like, and I remember the one girl, she was like, well, I'm 20. My parents know I'm here. They know I'm having, he's like,
it's not legal.
But I work in this district. Like, I taught you.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not doing it. So that lady, like, that's just insanity to me to be that, like, I'm going to invite over former students who are still underage.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to a certain age, it's fine. And that's kind of the rule with Tamatha, right? Like, you get to be about 21. Once you're over 21.
Sure, it's cool. Legal.
A lot of those teachers I'm still friends with. Like, we literally will get lunch and beers every time I'm back there.
Right.
But I can't imagine them at 18 being like, Ted, come on over.
No. I mean, just to protect yourself, if nothing else.
Who are you guys allowed to drink around? Before you were legally allowed to drink. I mean, look, we all drank and snuck it with our friends. And
right.
You know, when you move out at 18, 19 years old, or however are you, there's an understanding that you're going to find a way to get beer. Someone's going to
buy one buddy's mother, Tony's mom. Not all of us. Like, I was cool to drink with Tony. Guy named Paul was cool to drink with Tony. And Leon, you just accepted that he was going to be drinking if he was around Tony. But she would, we either had to be at her house. But she knew if we went out, we're probably drinking. But and Tony, he was our designated driver, right?
Yep.
Not because he was sober, but because he had a car, because that's how it works at that age. But she's like, I will drive you guys where you were going. You got to find your own way home, though. And you need to be done by X time. She never rolled over on anyone or anyone like that. And, like, Tony's a guy that drank blueberry schnapps and 7-Up, for Christ's sake. So, seriously, dude, I swear to God. And even to this day, he still would. So, if that's your kid, you don't see them as like drinking heavy because you're drinking some bitch ass drinks in the first place. But she thought we were all drinking that, and we let her believe that. Right. It's like, no, that's your son drinking that stuff, man. We're drinking beer, we're drinking whiskey, and granted, at that time, it's all the cheap stuff. She knew, but she was cool about it, kept it hush-hush. But with that in mind, any time that we knew we were, quote-unquote, on her watch, we never got crazy.
Right.
And that's all things. You know, you'd be a little drunk, but drunk, and then you pass out. But
yeah, my family, if it was a family function, and you were, I don't know, 16 or whatever, people would sneak you a drink, and then, like, I had some friends would come over, and my mom didn't really care, but it was the same rule, like, she knew we probably had a 12-pack between three of us, but we weren't allowed to leave.
Yeah,
right. Correct, you had to stay there. And then yeah. I had another buddy, Brendan. Same thing. Like, his parents would let us hang out down there. I'm pretty sure they knew we had, like, you know, that's like when you would have a bottle of Jack and mix it with lemonade or something.
Right.
Just awful. But same thing. There was a basement in that house, and we would go down to the basement, and his dad was basically like, I'm not going to bug you guys, but I do not want to see you up here. Like, if you want a bag of chips, take them down. Because, like, basically him and his wife wanted to watch a movie and, like, don't bug us.
Yeah. My buddy Pat's neighbor, he was a Marine. And, you know, when you think about a Marine, you think about a guy that has about the lifespan of an NFL football player as far as being active and being one, you know, a Marine, right? He was a lifer. So he seemed a lot older to me, but he would still get called, and he'd be gone for months at a time. So when he came back, he had a deck out back. He had a boombox. This is this is 87, 86. Right. He was always listening to what we thought was the coolest music in the world. Loved Bad Company.
All right.
He loved the Eagles. He loved, all these, just Boston, Kansas, REO Speedwagon.
He's the man.
He was the guy who was in there, hey, man, you ever heard of 38 Special?
Right.
He was the guy that was, here's Molly Hatchet, man. Check this stuff out. But he would let you drink beer, and he was big into Kentucky bourbon, so he always had a bottle of Old Forester or a bottle of Old Granddad, one of those two. And we would try to sip it and drink it.
Could you even handle it then?
I mean, that stuff was a hunger proof. And so we were just fine sipping on beers. But his rule was he knew we were all staying at Pat's house because we would only drink if we could stay in Pat's basement.
Yeah.
So that'd be a sleepover. I couldn't go back home smelling like...
Oh, yeah.
Correct. That was like the basement rule.
Smelling like, beer or whatever. But, his thing was he'd always sit you down. He'd say, if I ever find out that you are smoking grass... You will never come to my house again. Oh. You will never have... I mean, he considered marijuana like you would consider OxyContin or heroin. Like, it was in the same family.
My mom was the same way. She'd let a string in that base. But one friend, I remember, brought over weed, and he was banished from our house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was strict about it. I mean, like, that's... If I ever even
that's
catch...
That's for hippies, Miles.
If I ever catch even a scent of it floating into my yard, if I find out...
Oh, yeah.
Any of you start going down that dirty road.
That dirt path to hell.
He is just ripping cigarettes.
Gateway drug,
he's
baby.
Ripping cigarettes, one light one after the other.
Right, drinking whiskey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're throwing
Don't
beers.
Don't be stupid.
Throwing beers at us, teaching us how to shotgun beers by biting the can.
Right.
All the things, I'm dead serious. But, if I find out you're smoking that grass, never invited to my house again.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut out the categories, America's favorite sandwiches, and the NFL's greatest quarterbacks. And we got your emails coming up next to the men's room at KISW.com.